Welcome to the New Doctoral Student Consortium, or NDSC, podcast. Today, I'm excited to welcome my guest here to talk about one of the NDSC's top sponsors, the Research Methods Division, or RMD. With me today is Dr. Justin DeSimon, an Associate Professor of Management and Cooper Endowed Faculty Excellence Fellow at the Culverhouse College of Business at the University of Alabama. Can you just tell me briefly about yourself, your current role within the Research Methods Division, and how long you've been involved with the Research Methods Division?
Involved is an interesting way of putting it. I've been a member ever since I was a member of Academy, which I believe started way back in 2005, 2006, somewhere around that stage. It's always been my favorite division because I am a methodologist at heart, and I consider that to be kind of my primary contribution to academia. And so I've been involved in terms of going to receptions and going to PDWs and things like that for my entire academic career and my graduate student career as well. And I've always found the methods people to be very welcoming. They're fun people. They tell good stories. They know each other. They know people from all of the other divisions. And it's, I don't want to use the term melting pot, but it's really kind of a conglomeration of all of Academy in one. We used to have the tagline that we wanted to be everybody's second division, but people got kind of mad at that, myself included, because it's my first division. It's the thing that I care the most about. And I think the methods are incredibly important. And so that's why I've always felt like RMD was a good home for me. I got started in the executive committee side of it way back in 2018. I ran for treasurer and I lost. And someone took pity on me and said, hey, do you want to run the website? And you can be the RMD webmaster. And so my response was, I know nothing about running a website whatsoever. Please ask somebody else. And they said, we really want you to be involved somehow. And so I kind of cobbled together a little bit of learning. This is way before ChatGPT could code for you. And so I had to kind of learn a bit about HTML and learn something about how to at least manage a website, if not create or run a website. And so I've been involved as the web associate or webmaster or whatever we call it since 2018. I am stepping out of that role and giving it over to Hoda Basiri sometime between now and January, because I'm stepping into the representative at large role, starting an Academy this year. So next week. And in that role, I will probably be in charge of the communications committee. So outreach to members, creating a newsletter, which we had at the beginning. It was a physical newsletter. Then it turned into a PDF newsletter. Then it completely went away for about a decade or two. And now we are bringing it back in more digital form. Our first one being last year, a couple of people put together a really nice newsletter with thoughts from the current chair, thoughts from past chairs, highlights of members, all of the information that we give out at Academy at the division meeting, you know, award ceremonies, what were the best paper, best PDW, et cetera. I've served on awards committees and I will continue to do so as well. And just to try to support the committee and support the division as much as I can, just because, like I said, it's kind of my academic home or my Academy home. So it's a long answer, but I guess either 2005, 2006 as a member and someone kind of interested in this, or 2018 in the webmaster role, now continue at least for the next 3 years in the rep at large role, and hopefully beyond that, continue to be involved just because I like this division a lot and I want to get back to it.
That's great. I understand why you wouldn't love the tagline, wanting to be everyone's second division, but I like the sentiment that, you know, most divisions are topic specific, so it's a smaller subset of group, but everyone in Academy is a methodologist to a certain extent. Everyone uses methods, so everyone could find a home there. I like that.
Right. And I do think it's really important to emphasize just, we are not micro-specific. We are not quantitative specific. We have had kind of a misconception at times that we are basically only microquant people. And that's definitely not true. We certainly, since I've been involved, have had a number of qualitative researchers and a number of macro researchers who have contributed, who have served in, you know, the treasurer role or the five-year leadership track. And we really do our best to kind of not necessarily bridge a gap, but, you know, include both qualitative and quantitative research, to include micro and macro and meso research, all within the umbrella of research methods. So there are issues that are certainly more specific to certain types, like common method variants might be more specific to micro researchers, or endogeneity might be more specific to macro researchers, but everybody can benefit from learning about these techniques, and they are not uniquely relevant to either quant, qual, micro, macro, but the kind of overarching goal of research methods, just to make research as trustworthy as possible, make research as rigorous as possible, applies across the board.
So the reason we're doing this podcast is because the Research Methods Division for several years now has been a great sponsor of the New Doctoral Student Consortium. And the focus of NDSC is on those early stage doctoral students. And so we're always looking for, looking to highlight the resources and opportunities that are available to those students. So just wondering if you can talk a bit about how the Research Methods Division can serve as a resource to support doctoral students.
Well, there are a number of different ways. Number one, you can just come to our stuff, meet some methodologists. Like I said, they tend to be very, very down to earth, approachable, and kind. More than willing to kind of lend an ear or lend some time to describe things. There are plenty of stories of people who have just shown up to the NDSC or shown up to a Karma R&D event or just shown up to the reception after our business meeting and, you know, run into somebody that is considered to be an expert in whatever they are struggling with. So number one, I would say just come to the events at Academy, come to the events that are outside of Academy, ask questions, approach the experts, and kind of be honest about where you are, what you are struggling with, because we, as methodologists, live for this stuff. We really enjoy talking about methods. We don't find these questions annoying. We find these questions invigorating. And so we are, for the most part, I can't speak for everyone, of course, but I can certainly say that in my experience, most of the members and the leadership of RMD are really willing to take the time to help and to discuss methods. Not because we have to, not because we feel obligated to, but because we really like doing this stuff. Secondly, you can, of course, volunteer for the division. There's a link up on the website that says volunteer. You can fill out a form, say what you're interested in doing. That will kind of get your foot in the door for certain events, get you to meet like-minded people, so forth and so on. There's the community tab on the website that leads you to, you know, the discussion boards and things along those lines. But we put on a number of events, certainly at Academy, but also kind of over the summer and throughout the year, that people can show up to. We also partner with a lot of organizations that could be helpful for doctoral students, not just new ones, but at any stage. So there is Karma that we kind of talked about already, Consortium for the Advancement of Research Methods and Analysis, organized by Larry Williams over 25 years ago. There's over 200, I believe, webcasts on specific topics there. RMD and Karma run events together, both at Academy and outside of Academy. There is kind of the flagship research methods journal, Organizational Research Methods. Current head editors are Dina Kohler and Lisa Lambert. And they have a very, very good relationship with RMD. They come to our business meetings. We present the best ORM paper awards at Academy. And so we have a really good relationship with ORM. A lot of leadership in RMD has also been leadership, editors, AEs, so forth and so on at ORM. For example, Lisa was in the 5-year track for RMD in the past. I'm currently an associate editor at ORM, so forth and so on. There is also a lesser known these days, but still very, very important resource, RMNet. So this was started by Jeff Edwards back, I believe, in the 1990s, and it is free to join. It is an old style, what would we call it? A listserv, an email listserv. And there was last week just a discussion about journal impact factors there and, you know, what they are useful for, what they're not useful for, could they be improved, so forth and so on. And well, we like to use our discussion board at RMD for announcements. You know, there's a job open here, or here's a consortium that you might want to come to, or here's a PEW you might want to come to at Academy. RMNet is much more discussion based. So if you've got a question for an expert, or if you want to talk about current research or current topics, or if you want to solicit advice from experts, then RMNet has served that purpose for well over 30 years now and is an excellent resource. It is absolutely free to join for anybody who's a member of RMD and always has been. So those are three of them. There's also a group also headed by Tina Kohler and Lisa Lambert called Women in Research Methods. It is not necessarily exclusive to women, but the focus is on essentially creating a space where women can get together and discuss some of the challenges, discuss some of the methods, some of the current topics, just in a very casual environment. And so Women in Research Methods always has some sort of meetup at Academy or other conferences, SIOP, SMA, things like that, that RMD members can take advantage of. And again, it's not necessarily exclusive to women. It is focused on women, though. And so we partner with Women in Research Methods. We have been affiliated with RMNet for almost as long as RMD has been around. We have a very, very close relationship with KARMA, with Organizational Research Methods as well. So go to the events that we put on, certainly. Come meet the methodologists, but also look at these partnerships that we have. Read ORM, take a KARMA short course, come to the RMD KARMA, you know, joint meetings and events, and just kind of get to know other people who are interested in research methods.
Great. So you talk about go to the events, go to the sessions that RMD has. What kinds of sessions does RMD have at Academy? Like, what, given that methodology is, you know, broader than a lot of the other divisions' focal areas, what kinds of sessions could a PhD student expect to find at AOM? And are there any that are particularly relevant or you particularly encourage early stage doctoral students to attend?
That's a good question, partially because it changes every year. So the offerings at Academy, of course, change every single year, and the nature of these consortia and things like that change every year as well. The RMD Doctoral Consortium is an online consortium that's open to doctoral students and faculty. It happens maybe a bit before Academy usually, and it's online, and people can come and talk to experts. Sometimes we have done this with specific topics in mind. So if you need to come learn about endogeneity, we're going to have endogeneity experts on this day, this time. If you need to come learn about multi-level modeling, we're going to have some MLM people come, so forth and so on. There is always been a KARMA and RMD meetup, and that has been called various things across the years, but I believe it is called the KARMA RMD Consortium. I can look that up and give you a more specific one later, name later, but that's always good. The RMD business meeting and the reception that follows that is always not only fun, but a great opportunity to meet people, and certainly kind of free for anybody in Academy to wander in, especially RMD members. And so those are always going to be on the schedule. There are other opportunities that come up. Usually there is a panel session or a PDW with associate editors from ORM or experts in various areas that can talk about more generally how you make a methodological contribution or current topics in methodology and current trends in methodology. That is something that's, of course, it's not necessarily guaranteed to happen at every academy, but it, since it's a PDW, has been pretty consistent in the last few years in terms of being offered. There have been long-running sessions on kind of common topics, qualitative research, the introduction to qualitative research, the differences, pros and cons, comparisons, similarities between qual and quant. There have been some PDWs on Bayesian analysis that have been offered kind of year after year, some on null hypothesis significance testing that have been offered routinely. There is often something on very specific methodological issues like establishing causality, endogeneity, common method variance, data cleaning, data manipulation, things along those lines that are offered, again, not every year, but there is often something on those topics that appears at Academy just as a PDW, as a session, something along those lines. Almost always something on measurement. The discussant this year for something on kind of how to make measurement a little bit better, how exactly are you measuring that, to talk about the importance of measurement and the integration of measurement and theory, and how measurement without theory is not necessarily meaningful in any way, and theory without measurement is really just philosophy. So there are always opportunities. You can, of course, search the program for RMD sponsored events. A lot of the PDWs are going to be co-sponsored with specific other divisions. So it might be for something micro, it might be something along the lines of OB and HR and RMD are all sponsoring this PDW, or strategy and entrepreneurship and R&D are all sponsoring this one. Yes, they can be cross-listed with with more specific divisions. So beyond just searching the program, which is not very specific advice to RMD, you can look for kind of the common things that happen. The Research Methods Division Karma Consortium social event is happening on July 26th at 11 o'clock in the morning. That's going to be in the Bell Center in Hall CC2A. The Research Methods Division Business Meeting and Social Hour, that is on July 28th. It is in the Bell Center Treehouse. It is between 4 p.m. and 7 p.m., and that is always another good event to come to. There are just a ton of other events that happen. Some of them are specific to executive committee. Some of them are specific to ORM or AEs or things along those lines. But generally speaking, you will find RMD members and executive committee members kind of all over Academy. They are members of other divisions as well. They are kind of some of the leaders in the field, not just for methods, but for substantive topics also. So if you want to find RMD people specifically, the RMD Karma Consortium is a good way to do that. The RMD business meeting and social hour that follows that business meeting is also a really good way to do that. And those happen every year.
Not just finding RMD people, but what if PhD students want to get involved? What kind of opportunities are there for them to get involved with the Research Methods Division?
There's a number of opportunities. Number one opportunity, as it would be for most divisions, is just to volunteer. And that may be as simple as, you know, in every off year when Academy decides to do paper and pencil evaluations, sending people around to do those, or compiling data from the electronic evaluations of PDWs and sessions. We need people to help organize events, help communicate events, whether they be at Academy or pre-Academy or sometime else during the year. RMD, of course, has a relationship with not just with the overall Academy of Management, both regional conferences as well. So if you are, for example, in the South, we might be able to use your services to volunteer at Southern Management Association or other regional conferences. so forth and so on. You can also kind of get involved, so to speak, by just being a part of some of those partner organizations. If you want to join or just kind of hang out with Women in Research Methods, if you want to sign up for RMNet, if you want to, you know, serve as potentially a student representative for KARMA for your university or something along those lines, there are always opportunities that are either specific to RMD or RMD adjacent to get involved with Research Methods. And I always recommend that students get started with that as soon as possible. Just because you are going to be using methods. As you mentioned, methods are used in all divisions with all organizational scholars. And so as a result of that, getting to know methods and resources for improving your methodological toolkit can be extremely valuable throughout the course of a graduate career and, quite honestly, the entire academic career that you have after that. There are a limited number of opportunities as, say, for example, a student representative of RMD. And so if we just finished up an election for that, and we will have another kind of election, so to speak, or call for nominations prior to Academy next year, but we typically will have somewhere between 4 to 7 student representatives who will work with the executive team. They can take pictures at Academy. They can disseminate information. They can kind of hang around Academy, welcome people in, things along those lines. And that's a really good opportunity for kind of a limited set of doctoral students. We typically would like somebody who's probably in their second or third year of their doctoral program. So they've kind of been established as a student for a little while. They've taken some of the introductory stats and methods courses at their university. They're well-versed enough and interested enough in research methods that they want to contribute to RMD and kind of put themselves within that professional network and learn more. So we've always had a very strong set of student representatives, and we've always had pretty good interest in those positions as well. But that's a more kind of formal role, something that you can put on your CV a little bit easier than a volunteer position or something along those lines. And those calls come out because student reps will turn over when they graduate, or after, I believe, they've been on there for 2 or 3 years, they will turn over. And so there's always turnover for those, just like there are for rep at large in the 5-year track. And we are always looking for good, interested students who want to be a part of the research methods division.
For those more informal volunteering positions, just logistically speaking, if someone is listening to this podcast and they want to volunteer, how do they do that? Is there somewhere they reach out in particular?
Yes, we've got, if you go to rm.aom.org, that's our website, you will see a blue banner up at the top with a couple of different links on it, partner organizations like KARMA and Women Research Methods and ORM, awards where we discuss who won all of our awards for the last year and previous winners, et cetera. There's a resources tab that you might want to look up that has previous videos and research methods syllabi from various scholars who have submitted a syllabus to us, in case you want a reading list or to see what other people at other universities are learning. But right next to that and right before the community link, there's a link that says volunteer. And it's a very, very short website that just has a link to the RMD volunteer survey. You fill that out. It's a Qualtrics form, and you tell us who you are, what you might be interested in, kind of what your capacity might be, how you would like to volunteer. There's a couple of different options for that. And that gets sent to currently Betty, but that will probably change as kind of she moves off of the 5-year track over the next 2 years. But it will be sent to our volunteer coordinator or somebody on our 5-year leadership team who will then reach out if there's a fit and ask you to volunteer. So it's just as simple as finding it on the website. Just go to rm.aom.org, find the volunteer link, click on the RMD volunteer survey, and fill that out.
Wonderful.
Over the past couple of years, Academy has really increased their presence, or I guess sponsorship, of research methods content. And so there is an AOM methods committee. You have probably seen that Academy of Management Journal had a call for papers on methodological topics that came out, I believe, last year. And so Academy, both with their journals and with their governance, has really been supportive of research methods and research methods education. They are always very happy to collaborate with Karma and ORM, as I mentioned, but also just Academy-specific activities. So Herman Guinness was the president of Academy a couple of years ago, and he has very, very strong methodological ties and is a really, really prominent RM scholar. But it wasn't completely Herman's doing. It's also just that Academy recognized the need for methods education and methods knowledge throughout the entire organization. And so that's why there is an AOM methods committee. That is why Academy of Management Journal has put out that call for proposals and is considering methodological topics. It's not quite the same as ORM, which seeks to make a pure methodological contribution, but the Academy of Management Journal version of this is really looking, as I understand it, to kind of bridge the gap between method and theory. How can we use methods to advance theory within organizational scholarship? So it's a little bit different from the scope or the purpose of ORM. And like I said, we really value all of our members. We value the different perspectives that they bring in. We value the fact that they are interested in the things that we are interested in. We value just the idea that research methods is worth studying and worth devoting a portion of your career to. Because, as you mentioned, methods are important no matter what your substantive topic. Methods can be interesting in and of themselves, but every single one of us, even if we don't consider ourselves a research methodologist, need to be well-versed enough in research methods so that we can use it meaningfully in our own work. And without a good foundation in methods, the rest of your research is not going to be as meaningful. It's not going to make as strong of a contribution. The better you can perform your research, the more rigorous your methodology, the better your measurement, the more you are able to integrate your methods with your theory and your hypothesizing, the bigger contribution you will wind up making. And that's good for the field, that's good for your career, and that's just good for scholarship overall.
What types of awards does the Research Methods Division have?
Probably not interested in the Distinguished Career Award as new doctoral students, but
start planning early.
Yes. If you want to win the R&D Distinguished Career Award, you got to start right now. So, yes, there are a number of different awards. We have, I guess, a relationship with ORM that allows us to celebrate and help disseminate the winners of the ORM Best Paper Award. And that in recent years has been split into a quantitative Best Paper Award and a qualitative Best Paper Award. We have the Sage Publications /RMD /Larry James Early Career Award. And that is for someone who is within 7 years of receiving their PhD, who's made a significant contribution to organizational research methods, not just the journal, but the methods overall, not just the division, but overall research methods within organizational scholarship. That is not, of course, eligible for current PhD students, but if you want to start thinking about making methodological contributions, that is an award you can apply for after getting your PhD and after having, you know, been an assistant professor for a number of years. There's the Sage Publications Robert McDonald Advancement of Organizational Research Methodology Award that awards the best either article or book chapter over the past few years that has made a contribution to improving methods for measurement, research design, data collection, data analysis, statistics, so forth and so on. There's the Sage Publications /RMD Best Paper Award, which is basically among all of the papers submitted to Academy of Management that have RMD attached to them in some way, shape, or form, either as the primary or secondary, tertiary division that's a sponsor of that paper. at the Academy of Management Conference, you can win an award for having the best rated paper. There's also a best student paper award, also sponsored by Sage and RMD, that is essentially the same thing as the best paper award, but with the requirement that the first author is a student. So PhD students are certainly eligible for that. They are also eligible to win the best paper award. We've had PhD students who have won the best paper award, certainly PhD students who have won the best student paper award. And we've had students who have at least been on papers that won the McDonald Award as well.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we probably had a ORM best paper award that included a student, but I can't guarantee that one. I don't think we've ever had a student win the Distinguished Career Award, though. So.
That would be surprising.
That would be a great thing to put on your CV. Oof. Career's worth of contributions all before you graduate. Yes. Yeah.
I guess just kind of a closing question that's more general for this population of early stage PhD students is, what's something you wish you'd known before you went to AOM for the first time, or in your early years of going to academic conferences, any piece of advice for them going into AOM?
That's a really good question. My biggest piece of advice that I can give to new doctoral students is to recognize that everybody at Academy is human. So in my first couple of Academies, I would be shocked at the fact that there were these celebrities walking around among us. The people that you would name drop that you had met just would just be walking by, or they would be on the bus between hotels, just being transported around the conference. And the more I kind of advanced in my career, the more I've realized, not just with conferences, but also with writing, that academics are human. Even the best academics still struggle with reviewer comments. They still struggle with making a theoretical contribution. They still struggle with writing things in a way where what they're saying is also what other people are reading or hearing. And so, number one, recognize that as humans, when we're out at a social gathering, you can come up and talk to us. You can come up and talk to me, you can come up and talk to the most famous person that you've ever met. Don't be rude. Don't be pretentious. Don't interrupt them, things like that. But recognize that this is a person who chose pretty close to the same career that you want to choose. They like talking about the same kinds of things that you like talking about. Chances are they like mentoring students. They like teaching. They like disseminating their viewpoint and their research to an extent that they would be happy to have a conversation with you. And again, don't interrupt somebody in the middle of an important conversation and introduce yourself and try to become their best friend. But if you have a question, or if you have something that you want to debate with them or discuss with them, most academics that I know, certainly within RMD, but also more broadly, will be happy to indulge you with that conversation if it's at the right time. The other piece of that is, remember that when you're writing, whether this be for a journal submission or for a publication, remember that the people reading what you write are human. If you hate the way that what you are writing sounds, because it sounds too academic, because it's hard to get through, the chances are that your reviewers, whether it be for a conference or for a journal, are going to have a similar mindset. Write the kinds of papers that you would want to read. You still have to have good theory. You still have to have informed hypotheses. You still have to have rigorous methodology, good measurements. You still have to make a contribution to theory. None of that goes away. The how to publish in Academy types of papers, the what theory is not types of papers, those are all still good advice. But at the end of the day, you are writing a paper about something that you find interesting. Write it in a way that your audience will find interesting as well. Because at the end of the day, the people who read this and evaluate it are human. They read the same things you read. They think kind of the same way that you think. They are no different than you. They just have been doing this for a whole lot longer. And so don't be scared to strike up a conversation. Don't be overly starstruck where you can't talk to someone because you think they're too big of a name. Don't be scared to submit your stuff to good journals, but make sure that it's your best stuff. Make sure that you're doing it in a way that's interesting and intriguing, not just to you, but to Academy more broadly, to people more broadly.
Nice. I like it.
Yeah. It's weird advice, but yeah, I don't want to go overboard with that and say like, yeah, just walk up and interrupt Herman Guinness whenever he's talking to you.
It's good advice. Yeah. And it's stuff I've heard similarly from others. Because it can be really intimidating and be like, oh my gosh, that's so-and-so. And I've read all their papers, but they're also still just a person.
I had a grad student once who walked up to Ed Locke and Gary Latham, and you would think she'd met like Taylor Swift. I guess she's still famous. She took pictures with them, and you know, she was super excited to meet them, and they had the biggest smiles on their faces, because to them, they're just doing goal setting research. They're just doing what they're interested in. And to have, you know, they wrote a book and they're very, very famous people within academics. But, you know, if they go to a rock show somewhere, no one's going to know who they are.
Yeah.
If they're in Publix, nobody knows who they are. So,
different level.
It is
different nuance of fame.
Yeah, it is fun. But the people who are famous at a conference are not the people who are famous in real life, more broadly, so to speak. And Academy is a really good way to make yourself feel important as kind of a mid to late stage researcher, because the people there know who you are. They know what you do. You've made friends with them over the course of the years. Ed and Gary had the biggest smiles on their faces because they were just like, we're just people. Well, why is she so, so impressed by this? Because they just spent 30, 40 years of their careers just doing what they loved. And that's all that a doctoral student wants to do as well. Yeah.
Nice.
It's fun. But there's a lot of other different advice that you can give. You know, just start writing. The inspiration will come later. I got that one from Ruth Kanfer. But, you know, you see it all the time. And just get something on paper and then your procrastination will stop and your writing will flow and things like that. There's all good advice. Yeah, the only other conference advice that I think I've heard that I really like is try to meet people at your level or just above your level. Those people will be hungry in the same way that you are hungry. Those people will be at a very similar career stage to you, or at least close enough to you that they can understand your career stage and your goals and what it takes to succeed them. You know, I have made it a habit of befriending people at the late stages of their careers. But I don't do that because I want to publish with them. I do that because I really like their work. I really respect them. And I want to get to know them and hang out with them and just talk to them about nerdy research methods, statistical types of topics. But the people who were my best co-authors as a graduate student or other graduate students and early career assistant professors, because they had that same hunger that I did. They had the same career pressures that I did. And so some of them became really good co-authors, and some of them were kind of a one and done situation, but authorship or co-authorship is kind of an exploration, exploitation type of situation where you want to continually be looking for new potential co-authors and keeping the ones that work out really well and that you mesh with really well, and moving on from the ones that either freeload or don't necessarily have much to contribute. But you always do want to be exploring.
Well, thank you so much for your time. Sure. This is very informative.
Good luck. If I see you at Academy, Thanks. Come up, say hi. I'm always happy to chat.
Of course.
Drop by the RMD stuff. It's fun. it's all
I will fun. Take a look.
And most of them are open bar, even though I know you people don't drink, but yes.
I love my free Diet Coke wherever I can get it.
Yeah, no, we have non-alcoholic drinks too most of the time, I think. I don't know. Nobody parties like research methodologists, so.
Fair enough.
Yeah, no problem. Good to meet you. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye.